So basically, I've called this message True or False. Two simple questions whose answer holds the key to a life of freedom. So much of what distracts us from God and keeps us bound up in life comes from not being able to discern what is true and what is false. So I thought it'd be good to look at this a little bit. You know, being able to discern what is true and what is false is so important to us. And you know, as we reach the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, so we are still continuing through Matthew 7. So if you have your Bible, I don't have a PowerPoint, so just turn to Matthew chapter 7, right near the end. Jesus finishes off his sermon with some of the best advice we will ever find anywhere. It is wisdom that is meant to help us as his disciples distinguish between what is authentic and true and what is not. Because we see everywhere today, you know, you get a packet of lollies that says 99% fat-free. And it's true. Lollies don't have much fat in them. They have a lot of sugar, which make us fat. But they are 99% fat-free. Well, you see things that say guaranteed to last, and then you read the fine print, unless you use it. Yep. It's true, isn't it? You know, try it now, or, you know, we'll throw in a free set of steak knives, all your money back. You get all these things. You know, we live in a world that is consumer-driven, especially in the Western world. We live in a world where there's very little accountability. We live in a world where you can buy a degree off the internet and get a job, a high-paying job in the government. You can do that in today's age. It seems that the truth is as elusive today as it has ever been. And when Jesus was brought before Pilate to be tried, he summed up his mission on earth with this statement. In John 18, we read, "You are a king then," said Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. And with this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." Now Jesus wants us to be able to know the difference, to be able to affirm what is true. When we find it, we will recognize the truth. John talked this morning about being able to recognize Jesus. That's when we suddenly discover what truth is. But when we can also know what is a lie and we can expose it for what it is. Now, if you didn't know, Satan is the father of lies. And we also know that, you know, Satan hates the church and everything that we stand for. And when we take ground off the enemy, he's going to try to intimidate us. It's true, isn't it? He's going to try and undermine and deceive us and what God is doing in us. And he knows that if he can sow a seed of dissension, if he can exploit a hurt that we are carrying, if he can plant bitterness or unforgiveness into the life of a believer, he can blunt our edge and make us ineffective. He can destroy what God is doing at its root. And now Satan is not an in-your-face type of adversary. You know, sometimes it'd be nice if he was. We know what we're up against. But Satan is very subtle, subversive, and sinister. And Jesus, in Matthew 7, wants to equip his church with the gift of discernment. So in verse 15, we read, Jesus says, "Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Sounds very basic, doesn't it? You know, a good tree gives you good fruit. You know, things can look really good, but the real test is in the fruit. Because things can also look really bad, but the fruit is the real evidence of the kind of tree it is. Like a blackberry bush doesn't look very pretty, does it? If you're a farmer, you probably hate blackberry with a passion. But blackberries are really nice and really tasty. On the other hand, when I was young, I always used to look at crab apple trees. You know, they look nice, apples. Have you ever tried a crab apple? Did you do that too? You go, why? It looks like an apple tree, but the apple's just, it's not good fruit. Not for us anyway. And we can't see inside another person's heart. You know, we can't see what is motivating someone. We can't see that. But we can see the effect that they have around them. In this case, Jesus is talking about the prophets. You know, the prophetic word reveals Jesus. It reveals something of God in our midst. Because it is a revelation of Jesus, it has to be true. There must be truth in it. But how do we know what is truth? Because much like Pilate, who was presented with the truth in the flesh and did not recognize it, we can struggle to recognize truth in today's world because there are a lot of things that seem to be good, but they're actually bad for us. Some things that seem really uncomfortable and hard, but they're actually good for us. We read in 1 Thessalonians, and Paul says this about prophecy. He says, "Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil." There's a real call for us to be discerning as we grow in Christ, to know what is good so that we can embrace it, and so that we can know what is not good so that we can reject it. You know, being able to prophesy or to pray for people to be healed, or even just speaking in tongues, all these things are not a sign of spiritual maturity. And we can quite often not understand what it really means. Because it's not necessarily a sign of being close to Jesus in our hearts, being able to pray for people and see them healed, or to bring a word of prophecy, or to use any of the gifts of the Spirit. Because the signs and wonders that God does in our life are meant by God to point people to Him, to point people to the truth so that they could be set free. Because Jesus says it really well in verse 21 of Matthew 7. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" When I read that, I thought, wow, that's a pretty hard word. God can and He will work through us, but it's never an indication of how good our relationship with Him is. It can't replace our need for intimacy with Him on a regular basis. Better for us to take time aside rather than be busy doing for God. Because when we can be so busy doing for God, we can miss out on just being with God, which is the most important thing. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to who are we relying on? Who are we trusting in? Are we trusting in Him? Or do we feel inclined to prove it to ourselves? You know, Amanda said it so well last week when she read from Psalm 127 that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Because real spirituality is not in using the gifts of the Spirit, You know, prophecy, speaking in tongues, all these things are for the body of believers to be built up. But they are gifts. They are intended to be given away. And they're not given based on our character. They're given based on our faith and our trust in God. Real spirituality is in the fruit of the Spirit. Real truth is in the Holy Spirit working in us. They're real evidence that we are in submission to Him, that we have a meekness in us. I love how Guy really explained that this morning. Because if Christ is Lord of our life, when we following the Holy Spirit, there are things that are going to happen in our life that are going to be an outward blessing to others. And then, because others are being blessed, we ourselves are going to be blessed through them. It is the fruit of the Spirit that Christ is talking about. In Galatians 5, for those of you who don't know the fruit of the Spirit, does anyone want to have a go at but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But there's also forbearance in there. And against such things there is no law. That is amazing fruit. To be a true disciple is to simply follow Jesus, to seek after Him and to wait on Him. That fruit is so important. Like John was talking about this morning, having, you know, protecting that fire inside of us. You know, there are storms that are going to come in life. You know, Satan's going to try and undo the work of the Spirit in life, and he's going to target the one thing that produces the fruit, the Spirit of truth that has worked within us. You know, as a church, we are at a pivotal time as we continue to gain ground. You know, redeeming land for the kingdom of God is significant. Seeing people set free and released from oppression of poverty and debt is significant. People finding hope and truth and freedom is significant. So we need to be looking out for each other in prayer, guarding our hearts against any seed of bitterness that may find its way in there, continually judging things, seeking the truth in everything. You know, it's those little things that Satan uses, the annoyances, the little irritations that get under your skin. You know, when you spend a lot of time with people, it's those little things that really stick out. I don't know how I know that. I've read it somewhere in a book. Those things that don't seem to be a big deal, in the end of the day, that is where the real lie is, that you think they're not significant. If you've ever been married for any amount of time, you know the small things are what matter most in the long run. In the Song of Songs, Solomon says, I guess it's my prayer as well, Lord, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. You know, it's the simple things. Being nice to each other, wanting the best for the other person and doing it. That is where real truth and beauty is. Real love is expressed through the small things. Not so much the grand gestures, but the day in, day out little things. It reveals what's in our heart, and it produces an amazing fruit. Because just to finish, you know, Jesus finishes his sermon with an awesome illustration. And many of you will know it, where he talks about the wise and the foolish builders. You know, one who built his house on a rock, another built it on the sand, and a storm comes, the rain comes down, the wind blows. Yeah, whoever's done Bible in school knows all the actions. I won't do them, that's okay. But at the end, the house that was built on the sand fell over. The one that was built on the rock was still standing. In engineering, this is what is known as destructive testing. It's an actual term. It's a technical term. Often used on welding, where you bash it with a hammer, and if it's still there, it's good. I love engineering. It's very practical. It's very scientific. So how do we know we can trust Jesus' words? How do we know, really, really know what truth is and what is true? Because it lasts. It stands the test. Through the storms of life, when we come through the other side, we can still have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness and self-control in our life. We still see that fruit. We can testify to the truth that is Jesus Christ. Because he said he is the way, the truth, and the life. But for us to follow him, it takes an obedience on our behalf. We need to trust that what he's talking about is true. At the end of the day, if what we're doing isn't producing the kind of fruit that we want to see in our life, we need to become a different tree. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, you can take a tree, you can cut off a branch these days, and you can graft on another branch, and you enjoy the benefit of that root that's already there. When Paul talks about us being grafted into God's vine, that's what he's talking about. Suddenly we are embedded with Christ, and the fruit we produce is because of our relationship with him. But the thing with obedience is it's only necessary when we don't feel like doing it. It's only necessary when it's going to cost us. But as Jesus demonstrated on the cross, it's only through obedience to God that we'll ever find a real and abundant life. So if you'd just like to stand, I just want to close. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you don't have the foundation of Jesus in your life, if you're being blown about by the storms of life, if you aren't seeing the fruit you really want to see in your life, then I encourage you this morning, respond to Jesus. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is Jesus my Lord and Savior? True or false? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that you help us to discern what is right and what is wrong. You help us to know what is true and what is false. And Lord, I pray that our eyes will be opened this morning. Lord, that we'll see the lies of the enemy at work in our life. Lord, that you'll unmask all those little foxes that are at work amongst us, Lord God, that you'll expose the lie for what it is and reveal the truth for what it is so that we can celebrate it, Lord God. Lord, remove the little foxes from our life so that what you are doing will produce such a harvest that those around us are going to be so mightily blessed, that in our marriages they will prosper and grow and be fruitful. I thank you, Lord. Thank you that your word is truth and life to us, and let it be done and fulfill its purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Sorry, it's pretty loud. Is that me? Stay and have a coffee. Encourage one another. Love one another. And may the joy of the Lord be with you. Amen. Bless you guys.